Our text today is Luke 10, 38 through 42, and I'm reading from the Common English Bible. While Jesus and his disciples were traveling, Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him as a guest. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his message. By contrast, Martha was preoccupied with getting everything ready for their meal. So Martha came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to prepare the table all by myself? Tell her to help me." The Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the better part. It won't be taken away from her." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us go to God in prayer. Oh God, open your word to us this morning and remove any obstacles from our hearing and from our receiving. Amen. When we began this series on hospitality, especially hospitality around the table, I mentioned that we're getting into that time of year where we are thinking about holidays. We've got Thanksgiving coming up. Then immediately following that, we have Christmas. And it's going to be party central or family central for quite a few weeks during this time period. And most of us go to great extremes when we are planning those meals for our families and friends. What all do you put on your Thanksgiving table, your dinner table at Christmas time, or your breakfast when you have maybe have a Christmas morning breakfast? My guess is it's a whole lot more than you put on your table the rest of the time, the rest of the weeks when you're gathering just to have an ordinary meal. Do we really need mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, dressing, corn, macaroni and cheese? All of those? Do we really need broccoli casserole and green beans and asparagus and turnip greens? Do we need all of those? Yeah. All right, Dennis. Do we really need biscuits and cornbread? And do we also need rolls? Do we need turkey and ham? Yes. And I know right now you're salivating. I'm sorry. You know, one year we decided instead of doing all of that, we decided just to do a low country boil for Thanksgiving. And it was the most fun and the most peaceful and calming and relaxing Thanksgiving we had because we weren't spending all that time preparing all of this stuff. And then by the time we actually got around to eating, we were so tired that we just wanted everybody to go home, you know? You know what I'm saying, don't you? You've been there. What's that? You've been there. Well, today we are hearing a story, and this is a story that we have heard for years. Probably most of us could recite it backwards and forwards because we are so familiar, especially we women. We are so familiar with the story. It's often used in women's Bible studies, in United Methodist Women, now Women in Faith. But it's something that we're so familiar with that we wonder, what else can we find in this story that we haven't already found? And there's always maybe a glimmer of something new that God reveals to us as we look at his passages. But you know it. You have Martha and Mary and Jesus and his disciples have stopped by for a visit. And in that, Martha begins to prepare a meal for those as they have gathered. Now, in this, we tend to make Mary the central figure of this story, but actually the central figure is Martha. It mentions that it is the home of Martha and that her sister Mary was there with her. So that means Martha is probably the homeowner. She is the one, the homeowner, the one who makes the decisions, the one who makes the plans. We don't know if Mary lived with her or if Mary was also visiting. We don't know the details about that because that's really not given us in this passage. But Martha was the one who was the homeowner. So as the homeowner, not only was she concerned about making sure that Jesus and his disciples were comfortable, But being a woman, it did fall to her then to prepare a meal for them as they came to be nourished in their journey. Now, this journey that Jesus and his disciples on, let me remind you of where this is. This is in the chapter after Jesus has set his face to Jerusalem. So Jesus is already making that journey towards the cross as he comes to the home of Martha and Mary. And don't you know, as he comes in, that weight of what is before him is on his shoulders? He's feeling that burden that he will be carrying for us. My guess is he has come to their home quite often, because he depended on places to stop along the way as he traveled, places to offer him hospitality, places to welcome him in so that they could grab a quick bite and then be on their way. But it doesn't sound like Martha is doing a quick bite, does it? It sounds like she may be planning a full 4-course meal for Jesus and his disciples. And then over there in the corner is Mary. Mary over here sitting at Jesus' feet, doing what is customarily reserved for men to do. Being a student. To sit at the feet of a rabbi was to be a student of the rabbi. And so she is there as this student, out of the ordinary, in a reversal of roles. And Martha is distracted. Now, she didn't have the distractions we have today. She wouldn't be in the kitchen watching what was on TV, checking her phone every now and then, making sure the oven was just right, trying to get the kids quiet. Those were not the distractions that Martha had. So what were Martha's distractions? First of all, she was distracted by the very fact that Mary was not there with her, even though this was clearly Martha's house, that Mary was not volunteering to come help. And for all we know, maybe Mary had done some work before Jesus actually came in. We don't know. But at this point in time, she wasn't helping at all. And Martha was focusing on that instead of what she was doing. And she was becoming increasingly frustrated. Some scholars have also suggested that Martha's greatest distraction was not so much that she was preparing a meal, because that would have been normal, but that most likely she was preparing too much of a meal. Think back to our Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners. She was trying to put too much on the table where they just needed a little something to take them along their way. But instead, she was planning that 4-course meal. She was making sure that whatever she put on the table was going to impress Jesus and his disciples. You've heard the word dress to impress? Well, she was dressing the table to impress. She wanted to impress Jesus with this food that she was preparing, so she got so distracted about how much she was doing that she forgot about why Jesus was really there. I've served a couple of churches that used to have home Bible studies. And they finally stopped them for a reason. When they started them, they would come and they would have snacks, light refreshments, something to drink, maybe some pretzels or something. But the more they began to meet, the more food they began to have. And they rotated these Bible studies around to different homes so that like the same group would go to a different home each week. And so each week they would go to the next house and they'd have a little bit more. Then they'd go to the next house the next week and they'd have a little bit more. And finally it got to where they were having full dinners instead of just snacks. And so by the time they got to that point, all of their time was spent preparing dinner, cleaning up after dinner, and then it was time to go home, and the study time was lost. They got distracted by preparing too much and forgot why they had begun to meet in the first place. It went from being a Bible study to becoming a dinner club. And that's not what it was intended to be. It was intended to be a time where they did just what Mary did. They sat at table, and the word was the bread that they broke, not the sourdough bread that just came out of the oven. But they spent time studying and learning at the master's feet instead of spending all of that time preparing and then cleaning up dinner. So maybe Martha was just so distracted by all of the things that she was trying to get put on the table that she forgot about why Jesus was really there. But then Jesus does something that we sometimes take as a rebuke. When Martha's complaining, she grumbles and she fusses and she said, "Master, Mary needs to come help me. Don't you care?" Notice she says to Jesus, "Don't you care?" She had obviously decided Mary didn't care, but it concerned her that Jesus didn't seem to care, that Mary was not helping her. But Jesus' response was to her, "Martha, Martha, Jesus has chosen the better part. And that will not be taken away from her." Jesus has chosen the better part, and that will not be taken away from her. Elizabeth Johnson says this about what we have often understood as this rebuke from Jesus. Jesus' words to Martha may be seen as an invitation rather than a rebuke. Jesus' words can be seen as an invitation rather than a rebuke. The one thing needed is for Martha to receive the gracious presence of Jesus, to listen to his words, to know that she is valued not for what she does or how well she does it, but for who she is as a child of God. That was what she needed. Not to be seen as valued because she could put a big spread on the table. Not to be seen as valued because she slaved away in the kitchen. Not to be seen as valued simply because she was a woman who carried out chores like every other woman in that society did. But because she was a child of God. And that was not easy in that patriarchal society. Because for women to be seen, to be valued, was only to be seen and valued in what they contributed to the well-being of others. It was natural for Martha to do that. That was what was expected. Don't we sometimes get caught in that same trap? Don't we sometimes feel like our value comes only in what we can contribute to other people, what we do for other people? And that we're not allowed to stop and to sit at the master's feet? That we have to constantly be doing something? Oh no, we can't do that Bible study because we need to be over here doing this. I think I've mentioned before that we as the staff have kind of been holding one another accountable to Sabbath and then to self-care because it's easy for us to get caught up in that. We have to be doing something constantly. And when we finish one thing, it's on to the next thing. And we look at that and we sometimes get caught in that trap of that's where our value is in what we do. But we all do that. All of us here do that. But Jesus, when he came that day, he came and he reversed the table on Martha. He turned that table completely around and he became the host. When he said to her that Mary had chosen the better part, that she was distracted about many things, not a rebuke, but an invitation of hospitality to come and to sit at his feet, to learn, to listen, to be present, to be fully present with him. Martha, your value is not in what you do for me. Your value is in who you are as a child of God. We have a lot going on in the church, and it's kind of got our heads spinning a bit. We have the Cokesbury group that will be joining us at some point in the near future. And so we're excited about that, hospitality opportunities for hospitality. We're going to look at, and you'll hear more about this, we're going to plan a Thanksgiving dinner on the 19th of November, that Sunday before Thanksgiving in the evening. And we're inviting the New Life people to come and to join us. We've got Christmas coming up, Advent coming up, all of those things that will be happening. We finally got confirmation the other day that we can do dinner church in the New Life building, so we're looking at starting that the first week of December. And all of these are things that we're going to require us to do. But at the same time, they are things that are going to require us to be. Require us to also be present. Because what's most important when we sit down with people from across the street and with each other over a Thanksgiving meal isn't who made the best turkey and who does the best gravy. It's going to be being present with each other, sitting at each other's feet, and listening to each other tell stories about our faith and where God has worked in our lives. When we do dinner church, it's not about us just serving them. It's about us being present with them. About us sitting at table with them and answering those questions that are asked about where we see ourselves in the Jesus story that is told. Making ourselves just as vulnerable to them as they are to us. And in that time together, we meet Jesus at that table. So it's not just about the work we do, because we do a lot of good things. But it's about sitting at Jesus' feet. And Jesus looks different every day, every moment. Because Jesus looks like every person we meet. Every person who is traveling through this life is an opportunity to meet Jesus. But if we're so busy doing that we don't take time to listen, to sit, to talk, we'll miss him. And so today, Jesus' words to Martha are words for us. They're words for us to hear. Don't be distracted. Yes, do what's necessary. A sandwich is fine. I don't need soup, salad, main course, dessert, bread. Just give me a sandwich. And then sit down and talk with me. And listen to me. That's the portion that is most important. The tables are reversed. Jesus is the host, and he invites us, come, sit at my feet, and let's talk. Let us pray. Jesus, it is so easy for us to busy ourselves. And in truth, sometimes we may hide behind that busyness because it's safe. But you call us to come out from that busyness, to do what's necessary, yes. But we don't always have to take it to the extremes we often do. We don't have to impress you. You just want us to be with you. So, Lord, as we are entering into opportunities to meet you in others, may we not lose sight of that. May we hear your invitation to do enough, but then to also sit with you as we sit with the others. To listen to stories, to share our own stories, to share life with each other. And knowing that when we do, we have encountered you in ways we never even imagined we could. Lord, thank you for wanting to sit with us. That is the most precious gift we can give you, is to sit with you, to be with you, as we are sitting and being with others. Lord, receive our gift as we have received the gift of life you offer us. It is in your life-giving name we pray. Amen.